wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. And so we said that the Bible teaches that God has given us gifts. And all those that God gave us, He gave us through Jesus Christ. They are the things that pertain to our life and our ability to live a godly life. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has given us. All of it. And He gave it to us through Jesus Christ. And He sent the Holy Spirit to show us what those things are so that we can employ them, so we can use them. Now, if you don't know them, you will not be able to use them. Amen? I have one app on my phone. It's a GPS app. Obi put it for me. So after service, hold him responsible for what happened. Obi put it. Obi Okafor, he put it for me. He said, Pastor, this is better than all of them. I didn't know why until today. So I said, let me even use this thing that will be put for. Then the reason I'm saying this, if you don't know the value of what you have, you will use it. So I put the GPS from Washington. I just came from Washington. The GPS is amazing. It will tell me where police is. Even told me where they were hiding. He said, police is hiding. He wrote it for me. He is hiding. And they're hiding. I said, wow. He would tell me there's pothole. He said, there's pothole. So feet for me. I said, what? Help your car for. Why did he get this? Man, I was so amazed. Everywhere police was, he would say, police in front of you. I'll tell you how many feet from me, half a mile from you, police. So I relaxed. I was doing my thing. Once I hear police, I reduce speed. Once he said police, I will tell you where. I've just reduced speed. I had it all this while. I never used it. The reason I didn't use it, I didn't know the value. But today I saw the value. I mean, the thing was surprised me. Even pothole. He said, there's pothole for you. He gave me the distance. And it was there. I'm going, how did they put this together? Even a car that is parked, he said, a car is on the shoulder, parked on the shoulder, warning you, so you be careful. So he gave me all the information I needed to be able to drive safely and not to have ticket. You know, God gave us Jesus, and through Jesus gave us gifts better than that thing. So you won't have ticket in this world. Now guide you safely as you walk in your life. But if you don't know them, you won't use it. And all the while I didn't use it, I was doing calculations. You know, I was driving on my own, you know, trying to watch whether police is there. And the Lord said to me, say, no, this is what your people do to me. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, every time your people want something from you, you start acting holy. He said, so you are speeding, and the moment you see police ahead, you reduce speed. He said, that's what your people do. You reduce speed for me, start acting good person. Until you get what you want from me, you increase your speed again. So if you don't know you have these things, you won't use them. And you do without them. And they are all indispensable. You can't live a godly life. You can't live successfully without what Christ brought you. But the Bible says to us in Revelation 2:25, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And so we need to know those things and to hold them fast. Why hold fast? Because there is a thief that wants to take them from you. He wants to take them from you. And so Peter warned us in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around looking like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. And then he encouraged us in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Everybody said that with me. Say it louder, come on. I want to say it louder, wake up people, let's go. Neither give to the devil. And then it's all because God warned us that in the last days there's going to be increased activity of demonic spirits. Because they know their time is up. He warned us. He said they are coming with vengeance. Because he knows his time is up. That is in Revelation 12:12. We may not read it. In Revelation 12:12. And all you need to do is to look around you and see that the thing is really true. There's so much skepticism about God in this world today. There is so much skepticism. There is so much, they ridicule God like nothing before. Anything about God and Jesus is ridiculed. And Jesus said, you'll be hated by what? Everybody, because of me. He said, blasphemy will increase. Lawlessness, godlessness. They will not be able to keep covenants. He said, all these things will increase. And he says again, that there will be increase in doctrines of demons trying to deceive people. All you need to do is to watch the world in which you live and see the scripture come alive. And there's all manner of perversion that is today mainstream culture and is accepted. Now marriage, you know, we're talking about marriage. There is the one that is gay marriage and there is another type of marriage now. They have different types of marriages. They have gone beyond gay marriage. There are other types. There is open marriage. And now there are other types. And the state of water too. Polygamy is now. Okay. There are other marriages, so I don't even know their names. You are talking about, I am gay, I am this. Now they've gone, people say, I'm neither male or female. And now, officially, they are putting it in government documents where you are neither male or female. Some people say we are permanently children. So they are demanding that they are not sued because they are children. They say we are children in the body of an adult. Real. I'm not joking. You should see it in your practice now. They say we are children. We are in the body of an adult. So they are demanding protection by the law. That they be treated as juvenile. For life. It's identity crisis. Some people say they are pussycat. I've been laughing. They had a convention. 3,000 people came. They say they know they are pussycat. They were wearing real story. So now, identity, there's identity confusion. Because the devil is doing all of these things. In New York, like I said, on the trains, you can't use ladies and gentlemen anymore. They banned it. I'm waiting for them to ban uncle and the gentleman. If you enter train, watch, that's a new thing they're using. Because the Bible told us that the devil will come with vengeance to confuse the world. To deceive. Say, this is the one that deceived the whole world. Governments are in trouble. Even the church itself. I'm telling you. Do you know that a lot of congregations, they don't use the Bible? They don't preach from the Bible. They quote from books written by people, but not Bible. I've been in meetings where we didn't talk about the Bible. For a long time. And when I told them, I said, why are we not reading from the Bible? Listen to what they told me. They say, is it that thing? We don't need it. These are pastors. Pastoring people. They call the Bible that thing. Some people think they've grown way beyond the Bible. They call it post-Christian era. There's nothing like that. Can I hear Emilio? There's nothing like that. Post-Christian this, post-Christian. We are preaching the gospel, my friend. People are coming into the kingdom. Christianity is still here. God is reigning from shore to shore. We are preaching this gospel. There's no post. We preach to you, post and all. Give your life to Jesus. It's happening. Strange things happening. Strange natural phenomenon. They are trying to interpret it. Let them waste their time. Demonic. First Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, as temporary residents and what? Foreigners, to do what? Keep away from what? Worldly desires. What does he do? That wage war against your very soul. Church, let me tell you something. Please listen to me. The devil is not really interested in your money or your car. No. He wants your soul. That's what he's after. He's not interested in your money. He can pay you to make you go to hell. The devil will give you a good job with a lot of money, provided you don't go to Bible studies, you don't listen to God. He will pull you step by step, gradually, until you become a lukewarm Christian backslider. He has one particular target. It's your soul. Because Jesus said, there's nothing that qualifies, has anything the same value as the soul. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and do what? Quit means you can lose your soul. Jesus is saying, what value, what are you accepting to give in your soul? He said, what can you give in exchange for your soul? And the devil knows that people have prizes. They know we have prizes. And they know he mocks the world. He says, everybody is somebody's fool. That's what they sing. Everybody is somebody's fool. They're singing it. The devil is mocking the world that I can fool you. Nothing goes for, say, everybody has a price. So what is after is your soul. Is it succeeding? Look at the church. Look at the church. Am I going too far? Don't go too far. Look at the church now. Come to typical Bible studies and see where the Christians are. They are not there. I'm not kidding now. I'm joking. On Thursday, I said, the most important program in the church is Bible studies. It's not Sunday morning. Sunday morning, everybody comes. Because you see, God places his word above his name. If you haven't learned that principle in life, go and let the Holy Spirit open your eyes. Lukewarmness, lateness to church, lukewarmness. I mean, lukewarmness. Where do you find it? And he says, we are temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires. He wages a war. A war is a war. A war is somebody wants to take you captive, kill you, destroy you. The god of this world is the devil. He uses it. And we cannot effectively, I'll tell you the truth as it is, by the grace of God. You cannot effectively wage this war unless you grow and mature spiritually. You cannot. You think you can, you may not be able. If you don't grow and mature spiritually, see this thing that wages war against your soul, you will not be able to handle it. Children don't fight battles. They don't fight battles. Children follow the crowd. When we were children, Christmas, we go home. Don't tell anybody this story. So we do masquerade. You know, we buy this thing. They sell it in the market, like 6 pence. You put it there. They call it olaga. You put it. And then you and your friends go out begging for money. So you go and dance with it. You know, we used to use can to make our own music. So we dance for you. You give us, and we share the money to buy my things. Then, while we are doing Olaga, our own, then we see another masquerade. Both our Olaga and all of us will be, looking, watching it. So the Olaga will remove the thing. Children can't make good choices all the time. They're moved emotionally. They can't reason properly. They follow the crowd. They follow, you know. And the crowd is getting larger and larger, called the world. I'm telling you the truth, you can't fight this battle if you are not spiritually matured. What the devil is offering is almost irresistible unless God teaches you. He is serious. He knows what it's all about. He's waging war against my soul. He's waging war against your soul. So, last Sunday I was talking about what our needs are. I want you to listen to me. I was talking with doctor about this thing. Do you know, the devil tries to sell us a dummy. What's a dummy? Something worthless. Every salesman has one target. He wants to make you buy what you don't need. That's his job. A salesman is not coming to be nice so that you tell him, I don't need this, he goes. No. He's coming to convince you you need that thing. His job is to convince you that you what? You need that thing. Even though you don't need it. I watched them sell a house to a couple. They didn't need the house, but they sold them that house anyway. This woman talked them into buying the house. They were saying, but this house is not good. Now the woman will bring another point. But they said, we don't like the kitchen. The woman will say, but you know, the kitchen is this. The woman will say, yeah. They said, the bedroom is too small. The woman will bring it. He said, but it's glittering. Look at the glittering. Look at the sunshine. How it's coming. Look at the view you see from there. Every time they say something, the woman will bring something to counter that. Finally, they were talked into buying a multi-million house they didn't want. That's what the devil does. He wants to sell you something you don't need, actually junk, and convince you that you need it. And church, please listen to me. Do you know that human beings were prone to need, meeting need, it's what drives us. Meeting need. So, to us, value is conferred by how much you are able to meet my need. If Chris meets my needs, he becomes very valuable to me. Relevance depends on ability to meet my need. If something is not meeting my need, I don't need that thing. The relevance reduces. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, the world comes along, and the devil is the god of this world. And they sell you dummies. They convince you you need it so badly. And that they can supply your need. Because the salesman convinces you you need this thing, and he's the one to supply it to you, and you pay for it. So he comes along and says to you, you know what? You don't need all this babble. You don't. What you need is to make ends what? You are not talking now. What you need is to what? Make ends meet. That's what you need. You don't need all this thing. No. Ah! You need to do this. You need this. Then you pay tremendous price and become ignorant in the process. And as long as you see that the world meets your need, your love will go there. Because their value in your eyes will increase. It becomes a treasure. And where your treasure is, you love the world. You may not know that you are in love with the world and their God. How do you explain that a Christian, the devil comes and says to you, you need acceptance. You need acceptance now. You need to be accepted by people. So, for you to be accepted, you wear what they wear. It tells you you need to be accepted. And you feel that desperation to be accepted by your peers and friends and then becomes a huge need. He supplies you the need. So he takes you to the shop and sells rag to you in form of fashion. And you take your money. You pay a lot of money. And you buy the rag. And you put the rag on and you feel okay. Who convinced you you're okay? It's the devil. Who told you you need that thing? It's the devil. And how much did you pay for it? You won't tell people. Because it costs more money than the regular clothes. Church, I'm telling you, watch what I'm telling you now. And as long as you see that the world supplies your needs, you don't need God. God begins to be less relevant. God begins to be less important. And that's why Bible reading becomes a chore. Bible study is not in your program. You don't care about it. Because you don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need to study the Bible. No, you don't need it. Because your need is being met from your job, from this. The world is supplying it. Pretty soon you become a lukewarm Christian. Why? The relevance of God has reduced to zero almost for you. Because he doesn't supply your need. But what did God tell us? God says, I'm the one that supplies what? All your need. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It'll be 100% and God becomes your treasure. Everything about God, you're excited because that's the one that supplies all your needs. Your love for God becomes solidified. The relevance of God increases. The value of God increases. It's a game of value system. Am I shooting over your head? If you got what I said, shout hallelujah. Because whoever supplies your need is the one you attach importance to. Because you think, it's meeting my need. If it's your job, it's meeting my need. So whatever your job dictates, takes precedence over what God says. Because it's meeting your need. That's how the devil is attacking our soul by worldly desires. By worldly desires. What you are desiring. You need this one. Let me ask us a question. Who convinced you that every day you wake up and go to work, whether it is raining or not, you are there early? Right? Come on, right? Am I right? But you can come late to church. How did you arrive at that value system? Who convinced you that your job is more important than church? The devil. Who convinced you that Monday you wake up by 5:30, you are running. Let's go slow. I need to be there on time. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you do that, you keep repeating. Once a week, that's the one you agree to come on. Because the rest of the week, once a week, you drag yourself. Who sold that dummy to you? Don't you understand that the desires of the world is warring against your soul already? Are you waiting until you don't pray again? A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a... Who told you, who convinced you that your job is more important? Is it not you that come to church and sing something more than gold? Something more than gold. The spirit of God in the heart of man is... But in your living daily, you are living contrary to that principle. Who convinced you? So dear dummy. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. He showed you a dummy. One day something happened in that job. Everything. You run back to God. You run back to him. And realize what he's been telling you all this while. Without me, you can do. You didn't hear it. because you felt things were okay. That's living in a bubble. The Lord told me, he said, they were worshiping. He said, can you temper your emotion now? He said, you don't reach me by emotion. You reach me to my son, Jesus. Can you focus on him? Then he said to me, he said, anything that's not of my spirit is worth nothing. It's useless. It's worthless. And he said, anything you do, focusing on man, focusing on anything, is worthless. I'm not involved. He said, anything that has value that stays is what I do. And he said to me, he said, if I'm the one doing it, even if it's small, it will bring great result. And the devil will not be able to uproot it. Because the planting of the Lord is permanent. Can I hear amen, church? And then you go to the Bible and see how God sets needs for people. He sets needs for people. He created you. He knows what you need. He knows what he wants to work with. He knows how long you live in this life. He knows. You are not telling him anything. The rich man that collected money and filled his barn with a lot of stuff, and death came, and God said to him, this night, your soul will be what? It's this night. You are going home. You are leaving. All this, your work, you leave it. You are going home. You must go home. And the God said, you are a fool. Brethren, the battle is raging. And many are victims already. Battle is raging. Because what is offering, people can't resist it. It's money. It's taking your time. He gives you television to watch and convinces you you need it at the expense of studying your Bible. And you sit for hours watching whatever he's putting for you to watch there. And the Bible warns you, redeem your time. Somebody is stealing it. To redeem something is something they have stolen. Redeem your time. Redeem your time. Redeem your time. Time is a currency that buys you success. Time is what? Currency that buys you what? Anything you don't put time in, you don't succeed in. And what the time now left that you put in the things of God is leftover time. You are half tired, you are asleep, you doze off, do all that. But he sold you a dummy. He convinced you you need that television. I want to ask you a question. Can you sincerely check your life and ask yourself what to do on Sunday mornings that makes you come late? Second question. What do you do on Bible study days mostly? Irrelevant, small, worldly things. They don't amount to a pack of this. Praise the Lord. Church, I say praise the Lord. Am I going to talk about pornography? He says pornography to people. They watch it all the time. Pornography, there's a lot of pornography in the church. People watch porn. And some of it is from movies as entertainment. He sold you the dummy. And you're paying the price without knowing it. Young people, do you know when you want to marry, you need to be careful because he can sell you the wrong person and ruin your life. Marriage is like entering a bus. If you enter the bus, it's going somewhere. Praise the Lord. If you enter the one that is going the wrong way, it's either you follow it to the wrong way or you get out somewhere and the church does not accept the bus. Only God knows the bus that is going where he created you to go. And he will show it to you. Only him. There are friends you have, the devil gave you. I'm telling you now, there are groups you follow, the devil put you there. My mentor went to a church, a whole church, and the devil said to him, what are you looking for here? He said, get out of this church. I'm the one controlling them. He said, I give them their prayer topic. I tell them what to do. What did you come here to do? He wrote it in the book. There are groups you follow. God didn't put you there. The devil sold it to you. And you are paying a great price out of it. Because he's teaching you ignorance, teaching you wrong doctrine, ruining your soul. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with what? Wise men shall be. But what happens? A companion of fools shall be. He knows it. He can latch you to a bunch of fools. He knows you'll be destroyed. He's warring against your soul. Money means nothing. It's your soul. Second Peter 2:16. Speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand. And those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different. People twist scripture, say we're teaching Bible, to mean quite something different, just as they do with other parts of scripture. And this will result in their destruction. He knows that these things will result in your destruction. So he latches you on there. They twist scriptures. So spiritual growth becomes an urgent thing that every Christian must desire to grow spiritually. When we grow, we're able to discern these things that the enemy is doing in these last days and doing it very quite effectively. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. Solid food is for those who are what? Are you still here? Those who are what? Yeah, because I came to your backyard. Those who are what? Mature. Who through training, have the skill, but it's through training. Have the skill now to recognize the difference between right and so you know when they're selling you a dummy. It's so packaged. That's why it's called deceit. It's so packaged you think it's good. It's through training you mature. It's only mature people who recognize right and wrong. Only mature people. Babies don't. You are telling him this thing will kill you. Say, Pastor, make what they do, sir. But it takes a while. Then the result we should. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever. They sound like what? The truth. So clever. You got to be matured to know what they're talking to you about. To know when he's sneaking up on you, bringing you desires of this world that wars against your soul. So cleverly packaged by him, the deceiver. All that glitters, it's not good. Cleverly packaged. So spiritual growth becomes something very, very urgent, extremely urgent. And as a matter of fact, church, please listen to this. The Lord Jesus said to us that the only needful thing for a Christian is to grow spiritually. That's what he said. He said that's the only thing you need. Because when you grow, you understand how to do other things. That's what he said. And in all the letters Paul was writing to the church, every letter he was talking about spiritual growth, he said to the Hebrews, he said, why you are still babies where you are supposed to have matured? You are still eating, drinking milk? Every letter he wrote to the church, Paul was lamenting that they need to grow, they need to grow, they need to grow, they need to grow. And Jesus said that's the primary need of a Christian, is to grow and become matured. Praise the Lord, church. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul, which the desires of the world wants to destroy. It wants to destroy it, but this is what saves it. The word of God implanted in you is what saves it. But you have to be meek and take away all overflow of wickedness. It's all this prideful spirit. All this, I know everything. Nobody teaches me anything. All this unteachable spirit. The Bible must not be a book you feel pressured to study. Church must not be a place you feel pressured to go. Coming to church must not be something you do because you feel pressured. I must go. If I don't go, they will look for me. Let me go. You must not feel pressured to come to church. If you feel pressured to come to church, you might as well stay home. God loves a cheerful giver. Just stay home and leave God alone with his church. We must have new attitude. We need a new attitude towards relating to Scripture. So all the excuses we have for not interacting with Scripture, for not studying the Scripture, we must throw it away. Number one is that we must make up our mind to allow the Scripture to change us. You and I, we must make up our mind. You must talk to yourself and say, hey, from now on, I must allow the Scripture to what? To what? Change me. Tell your neighbor what I said. Do you know, again, I want you to listen to me. Do you know that people remain the same year after year, year after year, year after year? All they have improved is they have learned Pentecostal language and forms. But there's no real change, really. It's no real change. A lot of people don't change. They're just the same thing. If he was lying, he's still lying. Now he's even lying more than before. He's being ruled by his emotions. The same emotional hee-haw he was before, he's still. And he's going into 18 years, 20 years of being a Christian and going to church. Don't you understand something is happening there? Spiritual growth starts from me and you making up our minds that we will yield ourselves to the Scripture to change us. Because the reason we don't do that is because we are wise in our own eyes. So you think you justify what you are doing. It's pride. The Bible says with meekness you get this thing, not with pride. And anything you justify, you will never change from it. Never. Anything you do, you justify. You are not going to change. Lie, lie. And God will do nothing about it because you are the one that justified it. And so, when I'm doing something, I blame my wife. I blame this person. I blame this person. I blame this person. I'm not ready to grow mature spiritually yet. No, I'm not ready. Because the day I start blaming myself, that's where my deliverance starts. Did you know when they told Adam about what he did, who did he blame? The wife. Because it's better to point fingers at others and not at. Spiritual growth starts from there. It starts from deciding to allow the Scripture to change you. Some people read the Bible for somebody else, not for themselves. If you are hearing me, shout hallelujah. Brethren, I'm telling you people the truth. God told me all these things. If I went to use the rest, he was still talking to me. Say, you must say this one. in that battle. He said, I didn't write this one down. He said, say it like that. He said, many people remain unchanged because they are resistant to me, resistant to my word, and they are proud. Go to a regular meeting of Christians and see how easily they quarrel. At the drop of something, they're squatting. What? Somebody says something you don't like. Praise the Lord. Amen. I said praise the Lord. There are some of you sitting here that are people you don't talk to. And you are too quarrelsome, always making trouble. It's with meekness. Meekness is easily treated. Saying to God, I need change myself. If you justify what you are doing, you are going to carry it to the grave. There's nothing anybody can do. But the day you said to the Lord, I need help. Jesus said, I came to those who are sick. The day you said to the Lord, I really need what? Help. I need to change. It's not the other person. It's not the other person. Because pride will make you point on somebody and justify yourself and go away. And a prideful heart, God will resist. God is not going to change you because you are resisting him. We resist God. That's why the Bible says, be ye doers of and not what? Let the word change. That's what it means. Let it have influence in your life. He said, if you are not a doer, you are deceiving yourself. It's a decision. It's a decision you intentionally make and say to the Lord, you see your word, I'm going to yield to it. I'm not going to resist this no more. Let that word do an eternal work in me. You know, the greater work of God is not how many people I preach to. The greater work of God is how much I'm yielded to his word. The eternal work is more important than the outside work. Because Jesus said, cleanse the inside what? First. But we think it's about title, it's about senior pastor, it's about see how big a church is. Yeah, wonderful, but Jesus said, no, go to the inside first. Take care of your inside first. Tell somebody what I said. You must say it too. Tell somebody what I said. Tell somebody what I said. That's what is causing all this emotional hee-haw. Christians behave, you wonder. What's the difference between us and the market people? Where is the peace? Where is the love? Where is the patience? Where is the long-suffering? Where is the humility? Where is the meekness? Where is Christ in us that is our life? Even to the extent that many Christians are, they can't even listen to they don't have a leader. That's too big, too important. Nobody can tell them anything. That's a sorry situation to be. So we start from there. That's where transformation starts. That's where the thing begins. Deuteronomy 8:3. Am I communicating? Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread, not only by thy dollar, but by every word that what? Proceeded where? Out of the mouth of the Lord doth a man live with. Now, it's the second thing, the first thing I said, if you think you have arrived, enjoy yourself. But if you're interested in spiritual growth, you start with, first of all, deciding to allow the word of God to change you. Sincerely make up your mind and say, Lord, if I hear it, I will yield to it. I'm done with playing games. Because if I don't change, I'll be a baby and I can't fight this thing. Then the second thing is to have communion with the Holy Spirit. When you make up your mind, the second thing is to have what? Communion with the Holy Spirit. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded what? That's when the Holy Spirit said, it has to come from the mouth of God. That's true. Absolutely true. I don't care how much you read the Bible. After reading your Bible, the Spirit of God has to talk to you. I don't care how much you read this Bible, but he has to talk to you. That's communion. It comes from his mouth. The Bible said they shall be taught of God. After reading, you must let him talk to you. Because some of the time we read, close it, you are rushing out, you close. You haven't had communion. You won't grow with that kind of thing. You grow when he teaches you about what you read. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You have communion. He will talk to you. And you get your pen, get your pencil. It is called training. It is called training. It's called studying. Study to show yourself. There's a teacher sent to us to lead us into all truth. So you need to understand that this is serious business. Otherwise, your soul will be at risk. You make choices that is not aligning with God's plan for you. He will put you where you shouldn't be. Put you among people who gossip. Put you among people who are wicked. So we must have communion with the Holy Spirit. So he teaches us what the Bible is saying. Can I hear amen? Amen. I said, can I hear amen? Amen? It's called training. If you have iPad, get ready. If you have, like my brother, you have to have your journal and write what the Lord is teaching you. That's the way. And Habakkuk teaches us how to do communion with the Holy Spirit. He teaches us that in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the ramp. Habakkuk. Okay. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. What is rampart? What? Huh? What? A platform. I'll come to the platform. I'll come to where I'm waiting for him. There's a place I meet with him. I come to the platform. And I come to the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Brethren, if you are not interested to hear what he will say, you are not interested in growing. I'm telling people how it works. You have to make up your mind to let what he says to you change you. Then he'll start talking. But if what he said doesn't matter to you, you'll be doing what you like and justifying it and blaming people, you won't hear nothing. He won't tell you nothing because you know it. So what is it bothering you about? He won't talk to you. But the day you make up your mind and say, Lord, going forward, if you say it, I will do it. I will yield to it. Then start talking. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see. What am I watching to see? I'm not hearing you. What am I watching to see? What he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. So the man said, okay, Lord, I'm ready for communion with you because I need to change. You see, that change is growth. It's that change that is growth. It's not quoting Bible. You can quote Bible. You have information. Information is not growth. You can preach here like pastor, senior pastor, junior, middle pastor, what bishop, right reverend, and left reverend. In fact, you can wear sutan like Obi Okafor. He used to be a ladderer. He told me. So he used to be a ladderer. He used to have read something. And so he was even dancing there for the wife. The wife said, is that what you used to do? He said, yeah. You can preach fire, preach anything. Information will not change you. Cramming scripture will not change you. Preaching it won't change you. I'm telling you. It's in the, you, all that is in emotional level. It is in intellectual level. It's worth nothing. It's when the Holy Spirit begins to talk to you that deep we call to deep. That's what is called revelation. That's what brings transformation. A man lives from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's why revelation comes from what comes out of his mouth. Information won't change anybody. Revelation changes you. Revelation is the Holy Spirit revealing to you the mystery of the word, revealing to you the truth behind what you are hearing. That thing you are reading, he opens your eyes to see it. He begins to compare scripture with scripture, and scripture is so interesting. That's the best time of my life. He's comparing scripture and saying, remember this? You did this that time. It's because of this. That's when he begins to teach you who you are and why you do what you're doing. Sometimes you don't know why you are doing what you're doing. He will begin to unravel you to you and show you your life. Sometimes you think what I did is because of the immediate things. No, sometimes he takes you back to years and says, see that thing, that's what caused you to be doing this. He knows your need. He knows you. And he's the only one who can fix me and fix you. You can't fix yourself. You don't know much. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know nothing. I can come here now, get angry with you. You can interpret it from here, but God can interpret it from before you. And unless we go back to that source, we are wasting our time because the root is there. That's why revelation is key. He will come and talk. He said, I want to do, put that Habakkuk back. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. Because sometimes we cut it. We think it's a really, I surrender. I surrender. 2 hours, your emotions are running high and everyone's, you put fire everywhere. It won't take 2 hours, sir. You won't even remember you surrendered it. Lord, I surrender it. I surrender it. It's good, though. It's good. If you mean it, I say, Lord, you know what? I've been resisting you. Now I'm ready. Do the inner work in me. All this thing I've been pretending, I've been deceiving people. They don't know me, but you know me. And I need that inner work desperately because that's growth. If you don't change inside, it's not about how much knowledge, information you gather. It's how much change you have had. Growth, physical growth is changes that happens in the cell and the child is growing. That's the physical change, the same thing spiritually. So when he talks to you, he will show you great and mighty things you do not know. And show you things to come. In that conversation, he will say, see that woman you are going with, cut off. As long as you are going with that woman, evil communication, it will warn you. Because these things are packaged, looking good, looking wonderful. Sometimes, look, Smith Wigglesworth, God took him out of 5 churches. 5. Including these people that do Salvation and. He said, God called me. He said, get out of that place. He said, I've gone Cana. He said, I've gone Cana. Get out. He said, if you stay there, you won't reach your level. You won't get to where you're going. You can stay there and be doing Jesus, hallelujah. He said, you won't go to where you're going. He said, I've gone Cana. What do they do now? Is it not sharing bread? God told the man 100 years ago that they've gone Cana. He said, get out. Quick. And the man left. Went to another one, Holiness Sunset. God said, get out. They've gone Cana. Communion with the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you you don't know. You don't understand. He will guide you in the path you will follow. He will show you what you need and tell you what you don't need. He'll cut out the junk from you and show you the real deal and tell you where God is. And that's where you should be. I'm not joking. And your decisions will look foolish to people because you are not more following the crowd. You are no more a crowd follower. You are following him. The Lord knows the way. through the wilderness. All I have to do is to fall. The cloud knows the way. Huh? The world knows the way. So why are you sticking to television? Why? Are they showing you the way? Why? Your job knows the way through the way. All I have to do is my supervisor. You say we have faith, but you can't stand and see God show you something amazing. You can't give up something and say, Lord, if this is what I cost you, let it cost me. I will follow you. Where your eyes, where I am. Lord, nothing will, my soul, no, they're not taking me away from you. I'm following you. I give up this. Marcy did that, my secretary. She was working for a Christian doctor, and they put her to work on Thursday. She said, I'm not working again. She left her job. She said, I'm not working again. I didn't even know. And we're planting a church, and this young woman, I said, Master, you don't go to work. I said, Pastor, nothing stops me from studying the Bible. I give it up. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. I said, okay, fine. We don't have money, so you come and be my secretary. He said, I'll do it for you. Then we're using this typewriter. Pam, pam, pam. You know the one you hit hard. And then you turn it, the paper will. So he became my secretary. The church started to grow. They employed her. Church started to grow. Her salary was increasing. All the people her age and were working have all retired. Mass is still working. And her salary now, Pastor Tunde told me, he said, if you know what she's now earning. He said, all her case, they have all retired assist something. Now she's even working still. And the people are giving, he said, what she gets from people. Following Jesus is not eating pepe soup. You have to, he will lead you to do things that people will think you're foolish. But time will tell. Ha! Somebody shout hallelujah. Time will tell. We will know now. Is he not God of all the earth? They laughed at me. They called me foolish. They gave me things for me. Said I was foolish and stupid and all that. Ask my wife now. They say the whole pharmacist. Eh? And when an Igbo man is not doing business, they think you are. No, I won't say that. Because business is in their. They say, I'm wasting my time. Do you know when I graduated? They were giving jobs from university. They were giving jobs from university. You didn't need to beg. Pharmacists were getting jobs out everywhere. So everyone thought I lost my mind. The Lord knows the way to the way that is all I have. But what they didn't know was that there was something in my family that only God could knock that thing out. I would have died if I didn't know the Lord Jesus. It would have affected my kids. I would have died. This pharmacy would have gone longest time. But God said, no, come. I don't even want you to walk. I want you to serve me full time. I want to teach you some things. He began to teach me about faith. And when that thing showed up, he told me how to use my faith to knock it out permanently. He said, knock it out, it won't touch your children. No more, no more, no more. Gone. Am I not here? Looking very handsome. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's what communion does with the Holy Spirit. When you're a man that communes with him, your life will stand up. Anytime you talk, you don't talk like others. Oh, no. No, 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 because the source is not flesh. You've learned to walk with him now. You hear from him, you talk. You don't talk because they talked. You talk because you heard from him. And you heard from him, you don't talk. You talk when he says talk. Sometimes you hear from him, he says, keep quiet. Leave me alone. I'll take care of that. When you commune with him, people won't understand you. You are going to do stuff that will surprise you yourself sometimes. So communion with him is very important. Amen. Then Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord now said, now you are ready for class. Let me tell you what to do. Somebody shout hallelujah. God said, you really? You want to watch and hear me? Okay, fine. Let me give you instruction now. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it. Get your paper and start writing what I'm going to show you. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. He said, get your paper. I want to tell you great and mighty things, but you have to write it down. If you don't honor my word, I'm not talking to you again. Put it down. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. And that's what our Lord Jesus said, that learning, coming to be taught of God, is the most important need of a man. That's what he said. Growth. I didn't say so. So let's close with this. Are you getting anything? Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. See where Mary chose to be? To be taught of God. That's what Jesus said. She chose the most important thing. Who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him. Instead of coming to sit down, he came with complaint. Because people who don't sit at his feet, they're always full of complaint. They see fault everywhere. They tell you why they won't come to church, why they won't come to this, why they're full of fault. Forget about people like that. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone, even accusing Jesus of not being caring? I told you, people who don't sit at his feet, they're always full of fault. They find fault with the sermon, they find fault with it. Even Jesus will come physically, they find fault with him. They blame everybody. Save themselves. They justify themselves. And Jesus said, you are those who justify yourselves. He called them hypocrites. Bid her therefore that she help me. Let her stop all this sitting at your feet. There are other things in life to do. She should stop sitting at your feet. Let her come, 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 come. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, Martha. How many times? It has significance. One day, if the Lord will allow me, I will preach on the ministry of Simon. The one that carried this cross. Very serious ministry, that thing. Very serious ministry. That carrying the cross, very significant. Reflecting us too. I won't go there. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, Amabilisi, Martha, Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about what? Many things in this life, my friend. Many things. The devil has sold you a dummy. He has decided your needs and he's about to kill you with it. You walk 24 hours, you will sleep. Who told you that? It was asking, woman, did I give you that? Those things you are doing? But one thing is what? Needful. What is needful? And Mary had what? It was a choice. That good part, which shall not be taken away from. He said, I'm God that made you. I'm telling you one thing you need in life. It's not all this run all over the place. The devil sold you that, not me. You want me to tell you your need? This is one thing you need to do. Come and commune with me. Let me guide you in life. Let me teach you matter. All that you are around about, I'm God. Come and sit at my feet and have communion with me. That's what is needful. Very important. But they start with saying, Lord, if you speak, I will hear. Your word, I'm yielding. Change me. Do that work inside. Because you can't be resisting him and say, teach me. He won't teach you. Let's bow our heads. Too.